This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome to the Wolverine Podcast. We are with you on the biggest week of this or any football season at the University of Michigan, Michigan-Ohio State, down in Columbus on Saturday. Got a great crew in to talk about it tonight. I'm happy to introduce, you know, Tom Crawford, because he's here most every week, and he's out of East Lansing, but deep blue as far as his citizenship as far as sports fandom, and you know him from Press Pass and all the various ventures that he's involved with. And we also have a special guest tonight, one Jamie Morris, the man who made the guarantee come true back in 1986. we'll talk about that more in a little in a minute here, but Jamie Morris, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to being a part of it.
We, you know, you can catch Jamie on weekdays in the afternoons on the M Zone on WTKA Radio. We are privileged to join Jamie most weeks during the football season. We have a great time, and Jamie's with us now. This week, I'll start with you, Jamie. Just tell me what it continues to mean to you. Do you get geared up when it's Michigan, Ohio State week? What's the feeling this week?
Oh, it's a great feeling. I mean, back when I played, John Falk, the old equipment manager, plays the Bob Buford, all of the older games, and we listen to those and different things while you're walking around getting dressed and different things like that. It's kind of eerie because we're quiet, but you're talking, there's chatter. On a Monday, it's senior day, so the seniors run a lap around, and we let them do that lap, and then they got to come down to Gotland and get their ass kicked, and that's just fun. It's just having a good time with that, and then it's going to work. It's really going to work. Film study, all the things that you can imagine. We're getting ready to play probably the best. We're playing our match. And what does this game mean? I mean, come on. I mean, this game means everything. I mean, you've done everything you needed to do. And now you get Ohio State. And that's the reward that you get. And that's how we look at it. This game this year, this is the game that everybody, every former Wolverine, every future Wolverine wishes they can be in right now. Because this is the ultimate goal for all the marbles. These two teams, this gets no better than these two teams meeting one another for all the marbles. And I know it's just the East Conference Championship, and then going on to, you got to take care of business in the championship game. But this is what Big Ten football is about. These two teams.
Yep, no doubt about it. And 11-0 versus 11-0 takes me back to the early 1970s when I was first starting to watch Michigan football, and it's everything on the line. You win or else. And Tom Crawford, I know that here's a guy that gets excited about water skiing at 6 a.m. So I guarantee you that he gets excited about Michigan, Ohio State. Tell me your feeling after all these years of following Michigan. What your feeling is on this week?
Well, you know, I'm going to dovetail off Jamie's comment about Bob Eufor. I mean, Bob Eufor used to look at when this was when Michigan was playing 11 games. Yeah, there's the first 10 games. That's the first half of the season. And then the second half of the season was game 11 playing Ohio State. It was such a big, iconic part of Bob Eufor's life, which I was brought up in the WPJ, PAG in the 60s and then went to school in the 70s when all those, you know, I went to school in Michigan during the 10-year war. About 10 years ahead or 6 or 8 years ahead when Jamie came on board. And I mean, it was the game. I mean, it was, and this is, my God, a pair of 11-0s guys, 11-0 teams. We got to go back to 2006. And there's only a handful of times both teams come in unscathed, because I remember in the 70s, it's either Ohio State screwed up or Michigan screwed up. Like Jamie's junior year when, you know, against Minnesota, Jim Harbaugh's senior day, all of a sudden they turn the ball over and they lose to Minnesota. But then comes the guarantee. I know you got to talk about that, John, but it was always somebody screwed up, but that didn't necessarily mean who would win the game.
Yes. Now you're talking about 1986, the loss to Minnesota. And then, as I recall my own conversations with Bo Schembechler, he said, and I know Jamie quotes this often, that Jimmy shot his mouth off, and now we got to back him up. And back him up, Jamie Morris did, because I'm telling you, 60 yards in the first half and a buck 50 in the final half of that game, 210 yards on the ground. Jamie Morris, just give us a feel, not only of – there are a lot of guys that have worn that uniform and have – that could tell you what it's like to go into Ohio Stadium and have that hatred cascading down on you. But there's not too many that are in your position. You cut the number down that can say, man, we stood up and we got it done in a big way. Tell us what it was like that day.
Actually, we with the game plan, you know, they were running a bare defense. They covered the center and the guards, and they were, you know, it was very popular defense. And we came in with the game plan of running the wishbone. And if you remember the three backs, it's Gerald White, Bob Perryman,
right,
and then me, the other wing back. Gerald White goes out for a pass. He gets hit in the knee, and he goes down. So in the middle of the second quarter, Coach Burton comes over, our running back coach, and he goes, hey, we're going back to the I. Remember your assignments and everything like that. And next thing I know, I'm like, oh, we're going to go over to the I. The I worked for us. We were blocking up front. The guys were taking care of business. And, you know, 60 yards in the first half. I had no yards up until we went to that I formation and we started blocking, and we were coming off the ball. And at halftime, Coach Schembechler said, we're going to two tights and we're gonna rock them up front. And we did. I mean, we put Derek Walker and Jeff Brown in at tight end. You had McMurtry spread out. Hey, Pinky Higgins coming across. I mean, we owned them offensively in that second half. And you could see how we turned things around, had a big game. And the guys up front, they did a wonderful job. Jumbo Elliott.
Hey, Jamie, I want to interject there, because I remember you had a couple a touchdown runs in the red zone running the football, which Michigan has been challenged by in the red zone. What was the difference back in 1986 versus some of the struggles in deep in the red zone and deep in the red zone this year?
You got to put a hat on the ball on the man. You got to put a hat on the man. Every man's got to be picked up. You know your blocking assignments, and you get there. And, yeah, you got to have want to. The backs have got to have want to get to the ball. I mean, get to the end zone. That end zone is where you're at. Not if I remember a touchdown where we ran in the middle, ran off tackle, out of the wishbone, ran off tackle. I spun around three times, and then I just stuck the ball over and came back with it. And the referee gave us the touchdown, and it was incredible. Thomas Wilshire did it. We came back with the same play in the opposite end zone, and it opened up like the Red Sea, and it was incredible. So I mean, we got physical. That's what we did.
Is that lacking now?
Well, wait, let me just interject one thing here before we get that answer, because that kind of leads into, you know, you're talking about rocking them up front and getting physical. That was mirrored by that 2021 team last year. That's exactly what they did. Yeah. And my question to you is, now you're in a sort of a revenge game where Ohio State was shocked last year and they've geared up all year for this. Can this offensive line and these backs, however many of them are available, do it again?
Yes. This offensive line is better than than last year's offensive line. Better because they got better athletes, and the young kids got older, and they're getting healthy at the right moment. So this offensive line is ready to go. I think the coaching staff is ready to go. I know we've had our problems down in the red zone, but I don't think you'll have that problem now. These two teams, look, I get it. Everybody's saying, you know, they had a crappy game last week against Illinois, and that's why everybody's disappointed. And look, they looked ahead. They're human. We're all human. And when you play a team and you watch them on film and they're not as superior as you, you don't, it happens. And so I think this is what they've been waiting for game after game after game. And you've seen it. So this team will come out. This offensive line will come out and they will beat the defensive line of Ohio State up front. I guarantee it. They're stronger, they're better, and they're more, look, they're athletic. When have you seen a center pull on a counter trick?
Yeah,
right. Oh, goodness.
That's crazy.
That's incredible. And this is what I'm talking about. You have athletes that can get it. Zach Zinner, you got kids that can get it done. And these kids, they've been waiting for this. You want to talk about revenge game. You know how many years Ohio State has been whooping our butts? I mean, I don't care about revenge. Yeah, it's going to be loud down there. About time. It's going to be a game, back-to-back game. Good. That's what you're supposed to do. That's why you come to Michigan. You want to go into hostile environments and take over. Make it be quiet. That's what you do. You make it be quiet.
Are you quiet, John?
John, you okay?
You quiet enough?
Did he freeze?
Well, let me pick up on John. John, are you there? Jamie, I'll pick up the next question for you. Talk about athleticism of the offensive line. How about the lack of athleticism at the wide receiver relative to some other teams? Guys aren't getting separation. Making big catches. Where do you see this as part of the winning formula to beat Ohio State and Columbus on Saturday?
They say in practice, when you talk to the kids, they say in practice they're getting the job done. It just has not been. It hasn't come on the field yet. It's got to come today. It's got to come this week. It's got to come. JJ's got to grow up. We got to grow up pretty quick. And that and the wide receivers, they're going to have to get open, because you've got to show some type of passing game to beat this team, or they're going to bow up and they'll put 8-9 men on that line of scrimmage and you won't be able to run the ball. So you've got to open things up.
So I know Andrew had one, and JJ dropped one right in the bucket to him on that go route down on the Eastern sideline. You should have caught it. You got to make that play. But do you see a chronic separation problem with these receiving cores versus receiving cores? McMurtry, you mentioned, and some of the others in the Pat David Terrell. I mean, you have some great receivers, Mario Manningham. And they don't have a 50-50 ball receiver like Ohio State does in Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right.
And that's where JJ, I think JJ needs a 50-50 ball receiver to get him in rhythm. Donovan would be the best opportunity to get him in rhythm.
He's got to play.
He's got to play because it gets JJ in the groove. Mm-hmm. When I've seen him, it gets him in rhythm, and then it helps down the road. But so kind of analyze how challenging that is. And then John's back.
It's a challenge. Yes, it's a challenge. And look, Donovan is – I think he's going to play. He's going to give it a try at least. That being said, that will help out JJ. He is your breakaway wide receiver right now. I'm sorry to say, you split him out and you do what you can, because if they put a linebacker on him, we got that one. That one's easy.
Yeah.
If they put a safety on him,
Donovan Still, he's got track speed. So we can take that one too. That being said, and the receivers have got to step up. Every receiver has to look at himself in the mirror and say, I got to make a play. I have got to make a play. I'm not asking you to make every play, but you've got to make one play.
Right.
You've got, when that ball's thrown to you, it belongs to you. Go get the ball. And they've got to do it. And I'm sure that's what Ron Bellamy's telling these young men. Go get the ball. I don't care where it's thrown. If you touch it, it should be caught.
Yeah.
And that's what they've got to do.
Well, back with you, fellas. Good to good to rejoin you. Now, here's my question. Obviously, we were in the Blake Corum segment, and I'm sure that you have talked about the
No, we haven't touched. Okay, Blake Corum.
Well, that's
it's all yours. It's all yours.
That's the elephant in the room right now because you know the last thing that you needed to see when Michigan played Illinois. There was something bigger to me than the fact that it was that close a game and that you didn't have guys maybe performing up to par and you seeing number two on the turf and being slow to get up. I mean, that was so huge in that game, and it's casting, I would say, kind of a shadow over this entire week because the question becomes, if you don't have Blake Corum doing what he's done all year long, can you win in Columbus? Jamie Moore.
You may not have 100% Blake Corum, but you may have an 85% Blake Corum, which will move the ball, which you will be able to move the ball. It's a from what I saw, he hyperextended his knee. I mean, if you think about it, and they did try to put him in there but look, they were smart. They took him out. They went with the younger backs. I thought CJ ran the ball well. I thought he got hit. I mean, Gash played well too. I think that those young guys, a lot of people said they couldn't get it done. Look, this is the first live action that they were really taking against a good team. And that Illinois defense was out there hitting and they were competing. So, I mean, it was good that we got the young guys in to get some work in. That being said, it's pain threshold with Blake Corum. That's what it is. It's up to him how much pain can you take with a hyperextended knee? How long will it take? I don't know. You need to get some ice and some stim. You need to get the treatment as much as possible. You stay in that training room until you got to go practice. Now you got to practice because that's a rule. You practice. You get in there, you show that you can be a part of this team. Look, Blake Corum knows what he's got to do. He's a veteran running back. And Mike Hart, I trust in Mike Hart. Mike understands. Mike's been hurt before. He understands what this young man is going to go through. I'm hoping Donovan can give him a blow every now and then too. And he needs to take care of himself. But they have enough to win this game. They do have enough to win this game. And there's when you play Ohio State, the one thing I tell running backs, and if I was talking to them right now, you are the heart and soul of this football team. They played off of you all season long. If you can get out on that field, if you can crawl on that field, if you can get out there, give them what you got. You give them what you got. You do what it's necessary to get on that field and give them what you got. Don't, if you can't play, that's fine. That's cool. You give them the claps and everything on the sidelines. You be coach. But if you can get on that field, get your butt on that field and give them what they need. If you got to, it's the Willis Reed. If you can only give them two plays, give them the two plays you got. But it's, you've got to give it to them. They've got to see it. They got to see you in the huddle. That's what happened on Saturday, this past Saturday. Blake Corum, nor was Donovan Edwards in that huddle. The big play guys, the guys that make the plays. That's why JJ was in there by himself. Now, JJ has learned from that being in there by himself. It's just me. Well, son, you understand. You're the quarterback. It's time for you to play quarterback.
All right. Well, I tell you what, I know I hear you when you say if at all you can get out there, get out there. And I think if there's anybody on Michigan's roster that would do so, it would be Blake Corum. I'm just, you know, there's so much, I don't know, so much doubt or so much, I guess, mystery yet mm-hmm. as to will he really be able to go or not. And Tom Crawford, I'll just throw it to you. What do, it, if he can't go and go significantly, how much of a cloud does this cast over Michigan this weekend?
Well, it's going to be huge for all the reasons that we just talked about. Now, you know, Isaiah Gash, you know, he made a big catch and, you know, he dropped the ball, right? Okay. But what does he come on the most important play of the game? I mean, mm-hmm. it's game over if he drops that little out pattern. He catches it for a first down, move on. That should be a huge, huge competent builder for that young man who was a freaking former walk-on, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm mm-hmm. going to segue over. I got to segue. I mean, you know, Jamie talks about what he got to give it. You know, what the offense has to deliver. What do they have to deliver? I think they have to deliver 28 points. I think with Ohio State's offense, I mean, we saw in the third quarter what Illinois did to Michigan's defense. Tommy DeVito had way too much time. There was only one quarterback hurry in that entire game. Okay. So I think, and I didn't like that third quarter. I don't know about you guys. And I was talking to Brandstetter in the box, and he was upset with the running game. I was upset with the passing game. I mean, it's like they're going to have to shore that up. You're going to have to score 28 points to win this game. So I'm more worried about it, or as much worried about Michigan's defense as I am the offense. And I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to take 28 minimum for Michigan's offense to win this game, because I see Ohio State's offense with those incredible wideouts and C.J. Stroud. Marvin, oh my God. I mean, you got two NFL receivers. It's going to be a test. And that's mm-hmm. what I'm actually more worried about when Ohio State has a football versus the other way around.
Before we get the considerable wisdom of one who has actually been there, as you know, we've looked on, I would say I agree with you, Tom Crawford, to the extent that if you were to guarantee me right now that you would lock in Ohio State at the same number of points they scored last year, 27, I would like Michigan's chances to win this game. But I'm not as worried about the defense unless Michigan's offense puts that defense in bad position.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's not uncomplimentary football. Well, let's call it uncomplimentary football in that regard. Yes.
How about you, Jamie? What if you were to lock in a number that, okay, Ohio State scores this many, Michigan probably wins, what would that be?
It's got to be 35 points. They got to score 35 points. Mm. Somehow okay. They've got to figure out how to score points.
That's a lot of points.
It is a lot of points, yeah. But this team can do it. Look, they haven't been through a struggle yet. They haven't had adversity. Last week was the first adversity they went through, and they've got to play. They're going into a hostile situation. They've got to score points, and they've got to manufacture points, and they've got to be able to hold on to the ball. Use your offense to keep that offense off the field. You've got to be able to pound the ball, but you've got to when I'm saying passes, I'm not saying we got to have 20-yard passes. We got to have 10. We got to have 5 10-yard passes so we can get down the field. Hold on to the ball and get it downfield. No turnovers. You can't afford a turnover. And then when you play defense, look, Tom, I agree with you, but we've got to move CJ around in if he's moving around,
yeah.
He does not do well when he's moving around.
That's true.
The one thing last year I said we needed snow, rain, we needed the weather. And we're not going to get it this year. So we got to get after him. And
you might get a little rain.
I think Mike that's if you look at the European, because we have a caller that Gary calls in every. He lets us know. He's a meteorologist. He lets us know. And right now, the rain won't hit until about 5 o'clock, which game is going to get over at 4. So that being said, we're going to have to get him moving. Mike Morris will be there. We need Oki to be there. Yeah. We need everybody to get after the ball, and we've got to set the tone right away early. Mozzie's got a man in the middle. Look, they've got a running back. The two that they have, they're hurt. Just like us. They're hurt. But they got a little running back that I did see, and he looks good. But we got to put him on the ground. Look, the defense, I'm not worried about the defense. I'm not even worried about the secondary. You just got to keep these guys in front of you. You keep them in front of you. Let them catch the ball. Or it's only 15 yards for pass interference. They don't do it from the spot. It's only 15 yards.
Yep. Yeah, it's not the NFL.
Exactly. So that being said, you don't want to get run by, so somebody scores a touchdown. And if somebody catches the ball, put him on the ground quick. That's all you got to do. You got to not let them have the extra, that yak after the catch. You can't let them do that.
Yeah, I think, and so much is true in what you said about disrupting the rhythm of Stroud, because if you do that, he is not the same, especially if you do mix in some little wind gusts and what you can have in the Midwest this time of year. Yeah. That combination could throw them off just enough. And understand, Michigan held them to 27 points last year in a game where he threw for well over 300 yards. So he's going to get some yards. You got to understand that. But you were citing a number of ways to mitigate that. How about this? You've got against Illinois, we saw a couple of different wrinkles. You saw a screen pass or two. You saw some little quick dump offs just before JJ McCarthy was going to get hit that really clicked. And, you know, when I talk to others, they say, hey, Michigan always saves some things for Ohio State. You're going to see some different things. How much stock do you put in that, Jamie? If you've worked on it in practice, do you feel like that will automatically translate to the game if you haven't done it in a game situation?
There's a lot of things that this team – we complained that this team didn't throw the ball an awful lot. Everybody was saying this season we're not giving JJ an opportunity to throw the ball. We were cutting them with 1,000 cuts. That's what we said, because when you got it going running wise, we stayed with it running wise instead of letting JJ open up his arm. The only game that you really let JJ throw in, think about it, Indiana. You really found out what you had when he had to do it, and he did have to do it because they were stopping the run. They were doing some things to us, and JJ was cutting it up himself. That being said, take Salas in that. We know that JJ can do his job. People are losing confidence in that young man. You shouldn't, because that young man is the best athlete on that offense when he's running around making plays. Let him be. Look, he reminds me of a young Jim Harbaugh, a kid who ran around making plays. He made plays. He stayed up and made plays. And sometimes you're going to have to make plays your own, because sometimes you're going to get knocked out of rhythm. That being said, let the quarterback be the quarterback. It's time for him to grow up. You don't know what you have from in the running back backfield right now, but you do have capable running backs that know how to hit the hole. And you got the education in the young running back. So, look, you got four guys you can rotate in. I don't know how much you're going to get from Blake, but you're going to get some of Blake, because Blake is not going to let this game go by and not play in it.
So you mentioned running around. I want to by the quarterback. And I'd like to get you both in on this one. How much more would you say JJ McCarthy stands to run in this game than we've seen? It seemed like ever since Cade McNamara went down with injury early in the season, we didn't see JJ McCarthy cutting out of there and running as much as you might have expected. And I think that was partly a function of your backups haven't played very much. Mm-hmm. So is this the kind of game where, hey, all bets are off, you cut it loose, and JJ, you do whatever you need to do?
I think so. I think that they're going to tell JJ, you got to let it go. We got to let it fly. This is the game. And you got to get out of bounds or slide. They're obviously going to encourage him to get down. They're going to encourage him to get out of bounds, but if it's not there, take it, run, get whatever you can, slide, get down. And, they're going to be out there trying to hit him. Of course they're going to try to hit him. Ohio State wants this. This is the big game of the year for both teams. Remember Ohio State's three goals begin this week. Not the whole season. They haven't planned anything for the whole season. The goal number one is beating Michigan. Think about that. Yeah. I mean, that's huge for them. That being said, this is a quarterback's dream, a dream come true. And they're going to come in and they're going to stack that box. So they're going to give you an opportunity to throw. Of course, we're going to script and we're going to see what Ohio State's trying to do, what they're going to – it's look, the key is, can we wade through those first 6 to 8 minutes? Those six to eight minutes in the first quarter, because emotions are going to be high and it's going to be Ohio State's emotion. Remember, they lost last year. They believe in themselves, but they lost last year. We took their thunder from them. They didn't beat the pants off of us. Nobody got gold pants last year. Just remember that. No one got gold pants. So that says we whooped your butt and we own you right now. To be the champion, you got to beat the champion. And we're the champion. So Ohio State's there's a lot on everybody. And that stadium, you'll feel the pressure in that stadium. Michigan, they should just go in and feel good about themselves and go out there and have a good time. You saw the Jim Harbaugh interview. You guys were there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what'd he say? He was just saying he downplayed everything. This is going to be a great game. I mean, two superheroes getting after one another. We're just grateful to be here. Mm-hmm. I mean, he downplayed it. You don't want to play this up. You don't want to put any pressure on these kids right now because they know. Trust me, they listen to everything. They know how big this game is. Number two versus number three. The highest ranking between Michigan and Ohio State ever. Two undefeated teams going against one another. And nobody's going to say anything wrong. They've all been trained. So no one's going to say anything wrong. And you know what? I respect that. As I say to my Michigan State buddies, hey, this is how you do a rivalry. This is how you do a rivalry. This is it.
There you go. All right. Well, you mentioned how they handled them. What, Tom, go ahead. You want to jump in on that?
I'm just back to about JJ. When you and I got this, you know, John, you and I got this Cade McNamara, JJ McCarthy, you know, squibble, you know, we're going back and forth. The thing that intrigued me the most about JJ, and I think Harbaugh has mentioned this, is his vertical running. I mean, in the RPO. I mean, you go back to games, you know, Matt, okay, so it's Hawaii, it's Colorado State. There were some times when, I mean, they're literally freezing the linebackers when that RPO, because they got to worry about him. JJ McCarthy could actually make up a little bit of the void at running back, a vertical running downhill. That's what intrigues me more about JJ McCarthy than we're talking about scrambling and running out and doing a sprint out. No, it's not that far. It's vertical downhill running. He can do that. You saw him throw that block. This is one tough dude, man. He tried to take on two guys on that first flank. Remember on the western sideline run? He took on two guys. This is one tough cat. So have him run downhill. And also talk about athleticism, Jamie. Remember on the fumble where he muffed the ball, he picked it up, he completed the pass?
Yep.
They didn't have that last year with Cade McNamara. Cade McNamara does not make that play last year. JJ makes that play. And that's good. He is the most integral part of this offense in my mind going into Saturday.
Well, Michigan proved last year that you don't have to throw for 300 yards to beat Ohio State. Cade McNamara threw for about 150 a year ago. And that stood up because why? You dominated on both lines of scrimmage. My question to you, starting with you, Jamie, can they do that again?
Yes. As I said, this offensive line is better than what it was last year. And I think this defensive line, with the addition of Mike Elston, has done an outstanding job as a coach. I mean, stellar. No one expected this defensive line to do what it did this year. Nobody. He is a hidden gem. He has taught these kids, and they bought in. They bought in to what he's told them to do. So I love this defensive line. I love the outside linebackers. They get to the quarterback. They know how to get to the quarterback. They get to the quarterback side and front. Mozzie's been a beast. If you want to talk about running game, you shut the running game down with a big beast like that, and he does. He clogs everything up. So I'm impressed. You know how I feel about this offensive line. Now you know how I feel about this defensive line. And it's helped these linebackers out too, because they – look, I've seen him take on three – he's been triple teamed a number of times, and he just takes it on. And as he said yesterday, once I get my hands on you, you're going backwards. And he's shown that many a time. So, yeah, I'm good with the defensive line. I believe our defensive line can dominate their offensive line, and I believe our offensive line can dominate their defensive line. So, you got a foreign believer on this. I'm all bought in on that.
All right. Well, that would go a long way to making this a deep fourth quarter game. Tom Crawford, how much does that defensive line in this game have to help out Michigan's secondary? Because great passer in there.
Thank you. You just gave me a lob to Hunter Dickinson for the dunk. You know, exactly on that. You got to get more quarterback pressures, I think, C.J. Stroud, because Marvin Harrison Jr., we go back to the 50-50. When he went offline for a second there, John, we're talking about Ohio State has 50-50 ball receivers, and one guy who's going to be a first, you know, maybe the first pick in the draft by the time he comes out, Marvin Harrison Jr. So, yeah, I'm worried about the secondary, to be honest. No disrespect to the secondary. I'm with Jamie totally on the D-line, but I think the second level and the third level is my concern in this game in terms of Michigan's defense. Mm-hmm. But the D-line can help them out for all right. the reasons that Jamie cited. But they're going to need help. You're going to have – because that's the vulnerability. And I predict I will be shocked if Ohio State doesn't come out throwing, like, right off the bat. Series number one, series number two. I think they're gonna come at Michigan and try to turn this game on an ear real quick. And that's the part of the game. Jamie talked about the first 6 minutes, the first couple possessions of Ohio State. I'm gonna be all over it. That's gonna dictate if Michigan's gonna win or lose.
Well, we talked. You know, I can believe that. Jamie alluded to the fact that their first two running backs are a little bit nicked up. Others saw Stroud himself doing a little bit of limping around towards the end of that game last week, and maybe feeling back for the hamstring. We talk a lot about Michigan's injuries, but Ohio State is dealing with some stuff themselves. They had a lineman go down, an offensive lineman that went out, and they've got one other guy that has had some issues there. You know what this is like, Jamie. You get to late November, and it is not the same as you are coming out in the first week of September.
No.
That's just a part that you deal with. Talk about some of your memories of teams having to deal with that kind of thing in this game.
No, you've got to deal with some things that are going to be hard to get over. I mean, like you said, they lost a guard. Ohio State lost a guard, and he's a key cog in that whole wheel that keeps them rolling. And with him gone, look, you know that's going to be an area that Mike Elston and Mentor and all of them are going to see. They're going to go after. They're going to get to that. What do we do? How do we get to that? What do we do with that other young kid that replaces them? So you've got to get your team ready to play. Everybody's going to come around. Everybody's going to be ready to play. They're all excited. But you got to keep them level-headed, because this is one of those games that, look, you can get hyped up, but don't get overhyped. You got to keep your composure, because this is that's the type of game that you're going to have to play. Because, look, it could look like they're being gangbusters and they do something. Michigan has to come out early if they get the ball, and they've got to score. They've got to score a touchdown that'll take Ohio State. That'll deflate Ohio State's ego real quick. If Ohio State goes right down and scores, and then there's a three and out for Michigan, that elevates the hype and everything, and that crowd gets louder and louder. You've got to take the crowd out as quick as possible. Iowa, you go down to Iowa. You remember Iowa? Michigan methodically went down the field on Iowa, scored. That took that crowd out of it kind of early. They never got back into it. till late when Michigan let them back in a little bit. But I mean, other than that, you've got to take the controls away from that fan base, because that's what's going to be the problem. The crowd noise is going to be the problem. That's really that team, if it's anything like I think it is, it feeds off of the fan base. They're going to feed the one thing I've learned about the youth of football, they love being clapped for. They love being loved. And that's the building. Yeah. In that building, that they're going to get a lot of love. They're going to get a lot of love. Mm-hmm. You got to get after them. You got to match score for score. You can't let them get ahead of you two touchdowns down. You can't be two touchdowns down in the first quarter. You can't.
Okay. Well, that leads right into my next question, and we'll go around the horn with this one, starting with Jamie. You mentioned keeping it close. If Michigan is to win in Columbus, what will be the key? What will they need to do to make sure? Is it keeping the Buckeyes from getting away from them, or is there other factor that overrides even that?
It's the running game. It's really the running game. It's really the offensive line doing their job, what they did last year, taking over the game. They're going to have to take over the game. The defense is going to do what they I think this is a better 22 defense is better than the 21 defense right now. And the reason why is because they worked so hard together. I'm not saying they got better athletes, because that 21 team had some athletes that got after the ball. I'm saying to you that a collective group, the 22 team, is a great team defense, and they get after the ball. Yes, the secondary is a little shaky, but like I said, keep them in front of you. Keep them in front of you, and it's only 15 yards. If you know it's going to get away from you and they throw a high ball, you pull him down on the ground and you take the 15 yards, and the coaches will yell at you and you move to the next. You move down the field. But that being said, you got to keep it close. You got to play ball. It's 60 minutes of hell. That's what it's going to be. 60 minutes of hell in probably one of the most ruckus stadium you will ever be in. But it's going to be fun. Enjoy. See, here's the thing. People always think, no, enjoy it. They did this for you. Enjoy it. You did this for yourself. Now you get to go down to Columbus, and guess what? Enjoy being in there, because that is the greatest thrill of your lifetime. And just, you know, I always tell everybody that people will remember this for the rest of their lives. And this is the game that makes heroes. This is the game they remember you. They remember you when you do great things in games like this.
Hello, Charles Woodson. Hello, Jamie Morris.
Hello, Desmond Howard.
Hello, Desmond Howard. Yeah, absolutely. You got
Hello, Tim Biakabatuka.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tom Crawford, quickly to you. If they win this game, if Michigan wins this game, what will it have done well?
Play action, maybe in the red zone, maybe on first down that we haven't seen. I know they're going to put something in the box and dare Michigan to run. Action will make people honest on that regard, and they're going to need balance. They're probably going to need over 400 yards of total offense. They can't turn the ball over, and they can't have Jake Moody be the player of the game of you. Okay? Yeah. It can't be like Michigan State. It can't be like Illinois. You can't go down there and kick field goals. You're going to have to figure out a way to score touchdowns, and at least four of them. They mentioned about 28 points. So I know that's a lot to ask, but I'd like some balance. You know, at least get 200 on the ground and, maybe 200 in the air. I don't know. It's going to take balance, and play action leads to balance.
Yeah, I like listening to Jamie talk about the defensive line. I think one thing they are this year, you say they're better. They're certainly deeper on the defensive line this year. They brought in so many pieces to that, and that kind of leads into mine. I'm going right back to, if they can have the upper hand on both lines of scrimmage, I think that you have got yourself an excellent chance to win this football game. So we will see what they do on Saturday. One more thing. We're late in the fourth quarter here, but I will say this. The door is not shut for the team that does not win this game to make the college football playoff because of all the crazy stuff that's going on. Tom Crawford first, you, and then Jamie. Do you think that loser of this game still has a shot?
As long as the Irish come through, USC is going to have to go down. I think, the South Carolina, romp on Tennessee, that opened that door a little halfway open, right? But to keep it all wide open for the loser, as in Michigan, if they fall, they're going to need to have USC out of the equation. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish are going to be that's their up first. And if that doesn't happen, they got to do it with Utah in the Pac-12 championship. With USC lingering around, I don't like Michigan's chances as a loser in this game.
Okay. Jamie Morris.
I agree with Tom on that. I mean, you need the Irish to win. You need, well, the if you want to know the really Michigan's got to win in Ohio State, they would put Ohio State in there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, if you want two Big Ten teams in there, Michigan's got to win and Ohio State would, they would fit in better. I mean, the one mark against Michigan, they said it from day one was the scheduling. I mean, that's what they said. From day one, they criticized Michigan of their weak scheduling, and they're looking for reasons to not do it. So Michigan's got to win this game to get both teams in. But I mean, you there is a miracle. I mean, anything can happen. Sure. So TCU could lose.
Yeah, that's true.
TCU could lose. This is a game. Look, this game, it's oval. That's why it's oval. It bounces different ways.
A lot of football. So,
exactly. But last thing, instead of going out of here with what ifs, we're going to let Jamie Morris talk about what was and what can be. Talk about the feeling on that field, the place that Bob Eufer famously called the snake pit, when you have beaten the Buckeyes and you're looking around and it's unusually quiet in that building.
It's the greatest thrill of your life. I mean, you silence that crowd and, you carry your coach onto the field as a victor. And, it's probably it's something that you never forget. It's the greatest thrill of your lifetime. And you beat your arch rival. And you'll carry that with you for the rest of your life. So, and it's a chance to sing the victors in that stadium, loud and proud.
And that's what they're going to be looking to do on Saturday. We will be following it. I can't thank you gentlemen enough, Tom Crawford, Jamie Morris, for coming in and talking Michigan, Ohio State. We will be here next week talking all about what happened. But we sure thank you guys for joining us, and we will see you soon.
All right. Thanks, John. See you, Jamie.
Thanks, John. See you later, Tom.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.